Hello again, Bob Chaundy here with another Considering Art podcast in which I talk to an artist about their work and something of their life. In the Hertfordshire town of St Albans stands the mighty St Albans Cathedral, built by the Normans nearly 1,000 years ago and the oldest place of continuous Christian worship in the UK. It's here that my guest today, Ant Steele, has just completed an artist residency. It's unusual because Ant is a street artist who paints with a spray can, and many of his works can be seen locally around the town on walls and billboards. These include community projects, such as a wall for Ukraine, for example, and another describing a political scandal from the 19th century. Ant hasn't been painting the walls of the cathedral, even though you can actually see graffiti going back to medieval times carved on some of the columns. But he left there an exhibition of paintings on boards that depict stages of his life, which he's called Graffiti and Grace. Though Ant was born in the UK, he spent 20 years in South Africa, where he trained in graphic design and animation. He came back to the UK 7 years ago. I went to the cathedral to meet him. Ant, welcome to the podcast. Delighted to meet you in such hallowed environment.
Thank you very much, Bob. It's lovely to be on the podcast. And yeah, this is an absolutely exquisite place to be in.
We'll talk about the cathedral later, but I just want to say, first of all, you are not your stereotypical street artist, are you? Even though you work outside with spray cans and so on.
Yeah, probably not the stereotype that people first think of. My love for spray art really sort of has just come from the fact that I spent many, many years doing digital art and animation. And then I got to a point where I craved getting my hands dirty again and wanting to go outside and climb walls and use spray cans. So my entry into being a spray can artist, a street artist, is sort of like later on in my life as opposed to being in my youth. So all my work has been commissions and being sort of like pieces for the public and
they're all given permission.
Yeah, they're all given permission. A lot of stuff is charity work as well, which I love doing. So yeah, I'm not on the train tracks. I'm not that type of artist, no.
Were you ever?
Yeah, I can't really answer those questions, can I? But no, I did.
I won't tell anyone.
I did some sort of like free sprays, here and there, but not vandalizing or doing anything like that.
But you must learn how to use spray paint.
Yeah. I think it's a process where, you just have to keep on practicing at, like so many other things. A lot of people obviously just give up when it doesn't work out, but the more you try it and the more you practice it, the more you get your own feel and your own style. I've been an airbrush artist. I studied graphic design. So, all those sort of things weren't new to me, but obviously holding a can and using a rattle can, was a very new experience when I first tried it.
And were you an arty kid?
Yeah, I was a very arty kid. At school, I just, in my classes, I'd sit in the back of the class drawing in my book. I would seldom take notes, and a lot of the teachers had a problem with that. But
so you got into a bit of trouble?
Yeah, I got into a lot of trouble at school. A few of the teachers were, I convinced them that I was listening more attentively when I was drawing, and so I was retaining more information. I think maybe that's true. I'm not too sure. Some subjects it wasn't, but yeah.
I've often wondered whether graffiti artists actually do any art at home with brushes or anything like that.
Black books. So most graffiti artists have a black book, a little sketchbook that they sort of do their sketches in first. Writers obviously will write out their letters and take quite a lot of time perfecting the style before they'll go out and actually do a piece. But nowadays, I think the stuff that I do is more based on, freestyle on the wall. I'll have a concept and I'll have some ideas, but I like to approach the wall and just, see what works when I get there.
And have you been inspired by other artists?
Very much so. Inspired by obviously classic artists. When I was growing up, I loved Renaissance artists, but, street artists that I follow, loads of street artists online. I'm always watching videos of what they're doing, how they're doing stuff. There's just a fantastic community. And I think new ways, we're kind of like one big team, all the street artists in the world. We just want to stop put an end to grey walls and add colour to the world.
So there's a brotherhood and sisterhood, is there?
Yeah, there's an amazing brotherhood and good camaraderie amongst everybody. Everyone that I've met, and I mean, everybody's got just a great attitude and collaborating, painting together. It's what we love doing. So why not do it together?
Although you were born in the UK, Ant, you grew up in South Africa. That would have been presumably overlapping the apartheid era.
Yeah. So I was born in Norwich, grew up in a little village, Tazeborough, outside of Norwich. And then suddenly was thrown into South Africa, Johannesburg, very, very different environment for me. And that was, that was kind of like just after like the sort of like bad riots and kind of stuff that was happening. But what was nice is that I got to, you know, I witnessed Nelson Mandela coming out of Robben Island in 90s and saw the whole transformation of the country happen into a rainbow nation, which was a moving experience, an amazing time to be in South Africa, really.
Yeah, it must have been. I mean, that must have given you a great legacy as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just, you know, I didn't have any of that history of the South African apartheid kind of era, but obviously there was like a lot of that still hanging in the air. And being a child growing up there, like in my teens, I went to a private school in South Africa. So, you know, there wasn't any racial discrimination whatsoever in the school I was in, but there were other places that obviously was still happening. And, just seeing all of that come around and, you know, everything that, Madiba, as we call him, Nelson Mandela, what he brought to the country is just absolutely phenomenal.
You went to study graphic design advertising at Johannesburg Art Foundation, but you also spent some years in the Navy, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Yeah. So in South Africa, conscription is compulsory. And I was drafted twice into, I think, infantry corps. And I was drafted into a very remote place of South Africa that I wasn't that keen on going. So I actually ended up going into the permanent force, and I was a permanent force in the Navy.
And what did you do there?
I was on dive course, and then I was on another sort of like different sort of unit that was sort of like more specialized. And yeah, it was an interesting time of my life. I still do things with the military now, and I still have like little things that I get involved in. But, at one stage, I even thought about having a long-term career in the military, but my art was the stronger part of me.
Mm. So you went to do advertising and graphic design. Is that where you honed your artistic skills?
I don't know. Like, I think maybe, you know, being at art college opened my eyes to the sort of the disciplines of fine art versus graphic design, I guess. The college that I studied at, they had a fine art department, and we were all friends with the fine art students and the graphic design students. But I never really kind of like was pulled into the fine art side of it. I was never really kind of felt, I always wanted to be more precise in the way I did things, which, well, graphic design kind of like fitted me for that reason. Mm. But yeah, the honing of my skills and that sort of, I think that just goes over time, and I'm still learning. I'm still learning how to do stuff today, every day, and I hope that continues as well. So that's half the fun.
And you did animation, as you mentioned. Do you still do any?
I do now, actually. So I did animation for a huge chunk of my life, big clients, international clients, and I got kind of like a bit saturated. The industry is very fast-paced and it's very deadline-driven. It's what I thrived on in the beginning, but then towards the end, it just becomes very, very draining on you as an individual. And so I wanted to find something else to do. But now I've actually started doing animation again for the company that I work for, at the moment. And it's really exciting to come back to it after, you know, 10, 15 years, because it's changed so much.
I imagine the technology's changed.
Oh, the technology's got absolutely amazing now. And, you know, obviously with AI as well, that does so much of the little things that we'd have to do ourselves, 20 years ago. It's really fun.
Presumably it was in South Africa where your love of the great outdoors began. Is it you like wildernesses and all that adventure sports?
Yeah, absolutely. So I actually, when I was growing up, I didn't want to be an artist. I wanted to be a game ranger. That was what I wanted to be when I left school. But I don't think that there would be much of a career for me in that, to be honest.
No, well, especially not here in the UK.
No. Yeah. Animals in the outdoors. I've always loved the outdoors. I'm more happier when I'm outdoors in the country or in forests or mountains or anything like that.
Mm. Yeah. Or when you're making graffiti.
Well,
art.
Yeah, you are. But you know, the inspiration comes from somewhere, and I find that when I'm in a sort of a busy environment, then I'm overwhelmed. And the inspiration is harder for me. I find that when I get out, into the country, or if I go on a hike or a walk or do something in nature, then I get floods of ideas and, you know, thoughts of things that I want to do.
And that converts into your art.
That converts into my art. Absolutely. Yeah.
Why did you come back to the UK?
I came back to the UK for family reasons. My mum and dad moved back. My sister moved back, some years before me. And, I was just needed back home from the family. And it was the right time. I'd had a few, bad incidents in South Africa with, my studio there, you know, being, turned over a few times. So it was kind of like, it was just the right time. It's just okay. You know, I've reached a point where I need to kind of make a change.
Johannesburg, I've been there a few times. It's a very vibrant black city, but it's a bit edgy, isn't it?
Yeah, it's there's like anywhere, there's good places and bad places, but you know, that South Africa's got an amazing vibe to it. As Johannesburg got an amazing vibe to it, very fast paced, as you said, but then exactly the same comes with the crime. The crime's fast paced as well, and the crime is intense. So if you know where you're going and what you're doing, you're pretty much okay. But if you go into the wrong areas, then you're pretty much not. So yeah.
When you came back, you worked as a director for a company called Firefly London. What did you do there?
So Firefly was my company. So my company in South Africa was called Firefly Animation. And then when I moved to the U- back to the UK, I opened up a branch of Firefly here in the UK. And I did a number of animation jobs for some corporates here in London. But then I just felt that, well, what actually happened was I met a microphone company who later became Aston Microphones and is now owned by a company called Music Tribe. And that sort of propelled me into the music industry and doing what I presently do with those brands, as opposed to having my own animation company.
Right. And then you settled in St. Albans, and you've really fostered community relations here, haven't you?
Yeah, St. Albans is a really lovely place. I seem to have got myself involved with a lot of different community, you know, organizations, which is fantastic. As I said, I like to do sort of charitable work, or at least work that benefits the community. I kind of feel like from an artistic point of view that I want my art to be appreciated by as many people as possible. And I think that's what I love so much about street art, is that it's not, my painting is not hanging in a museum somewhere or in somebody's lounge. It's out there for everybody to see, which is what I love.
And people are seeing it who wouldn't normally go to galleries or museums.
No, exactly. A lot of people just walking past on the street as well. I get to have conversations with them, which is really, really great. I enjoy all of that interaction. And it's always been positive. I've had one or two negative remarks from people, but I don't think they really knew what they were talking about.
Well, let's talk about some of those projects you did. You painted a very early version of Queen Elizabeth II on her Platinum Jubilee, which is in a shopping centre, isn't it?
Yeah, so that's at the Christopher Place Shopping Centre. It has obviously come down now, but I painted it for the Jubilee, as you said. I chose the black and white early coronation picture of her because I just felt that it was just showed that beautiful moment and kind of like a reminder of how young she actually was when she took the crown. and took that, you know, that responsibility onto her shoulders of, you know, leading the whole country. That's the picture that I chose. And then unfortunately she passed away, but the painting then became a bit of a memorial towards her, which was also nice.
Another one you did was Stand for Ukraine, yep. Which speaks for itself. But who did you choose to put in that work?
Yeah, so what my idea was I wanted to do something that was Stand for Ukraine and had a positive message, but I also wanted to combine it with the message of strength is beauty, meaning that for young women, your strength is in your beauty. And that thought really came from the fact that I saw a movement in America, actually, where there was an Olympic lady, ex-Olympian, who started up a movement for young girls and encouraging them to see their strength as a beautiful component of who they are. And so I chose three women for the mural that I felt embodied that as well. One of the women in the middle is Ukrainian. She's an Ukrainian DJ. But you know, the DJ industry is like very much populated by male DJ. So it's nice to see female artists. Rochelle Humes was the other lady, that I depicted, and Georgia Smith, a young UK rapper. Yeah.
Yeah. Another one you did told the story of the 1851 election scandal in St. Yeah. Albans, where there were cash for votes was particularly blatant. How did you approach that?
Yeah, that's really one of my most favorite paintings that I've done this year. I was approached by Tim Boswain, who had the whole idea of taking the fact that Sovereign Way has this amazing story behind it. And so we came up with the idea of having Jacob Bell, who is the gentleman who actually did the scandal, and his two sort of co-conspirators depicted on the wall, but in this sort of like, you know, period kind of style. And then I've got a female character as well, because there were a number of women who gave testimony to the whole scandal taking place. And it's just, I think it's an amazing piece of history, and even people who'd lived in St. Albans their whole life, they came past and they said, "Oh, what are you doing?" And I explained it to them, and they were like, "Oh, I never knew that that's why it's called Sovereign Way," which is, I think that's quite a nice thing.
So the women blew the gaff, did they?
They blew it. Yeah. They blew the gaff. Apparently, I mean, the story is really quite, intertwined. Somebody even said to me that apparently, the women were taken into London to try and get rid of them in pubs in London before they were due to appear in court.
Really?
So yeah, they tried to cover it up. But the thing is that the other political party that was running at the time was doing exactly the same thing. And so St. Albans had a ban of 40 years of not having an MP at all. So
really?
Yeah.
As we said earlier, we're sitting in this magnificent cathedral in St. Albans. It's built in the 12th century, or possibly 11th century, actually. What does it mean to you?
It means a lot to me, to be honest, because, you know, religion's always been around me in my life. My school, the school that I was at in South Africa was, you know, had a beautiful old chapel and cathedral, and we had mass twice a week. I was at boarding school. And obviously I hated it back then, like all schoolboys do. And, it's just, I've had a love for cathedrals, churches, just the dedication that people have spent their whole life creating such a beautiful, you know, structure. It always knocks me over. Must be stained glass windows or, you know, friezes or all these kind of, it's just such a labor of love.
And the architecture generally is just magnificent.
Yeah, it's just an absolute labor of love. I mean, nothing's done on the cheap, is it? It's just, they're just really poured themselves into it painstakingly. You don't really see that anywhere else, to be honest.
And ironically, there's medieval graffiti on the walls.
Yeah, there's some medieval graffiti. There's some scratchings. And they tell a story as well, because it's from the medieval graffiti and all the other graffiti that's in the cathedral. It's allowed us to understand like who was here over the years. There were soldiers that were held in the nave for some period of time, and there's all different passings of people coming through here throughout the years. And it's interesting to see those sort of like little marks and nuggets of information that they've left. It's always kind of a funny question as to, okay, well, what if we had to put something on the wall now, like let's say about COVID or whatever, so that in 100 years time, somebody else could see that. But yeah, we're not going to be drawing on the walls today.
You've just finished an artistic residency here. That's a scheme that St. Albans Cathedral does for artists.
Yeah.
How did you get the gig?
I got the gig because I did a 10 meter peregrine falcon painting on the cathedral grounds the year before, last year, for the St. Albans Film Festival. And that got a lot of attention. Everybody obviously saw it because it was in the cathedral park. And one of the ladies from the cathedral who you know, runs the program, she came out and spoke to me. That's basically almost as if I painted a massive advert outside the cathedral for everyone to see.
And part of the residency, you've been holding workshops with various people, including children. What kind of things have you been up to with them and what do you teach them?
Yeah, so the workshops are really cool. I've done a lot of workshops with schools, some of the St. Albans schools, and I think that they're probably, you know, one of the most favorite experiences for me because, you know, the kids get so involved and they're so exciting to be using spray cans and markers and all this kind of like cool stuff that you're not really supposed to be doing or whatever. And the art that they've created has been really, really good. I've been very impressed.
You just spawned a whole array of new graffiti artists.
Yeah, that's what some people have said to me. They said, oh, you're training up your crew. We're expecting to see your tag everywhere in St. Albans soon.
And you've also worked with asylum seekers and refugees, I gather.
Asylum seekers and refugees, did some workshops, did a lovely workshop with the Ukrainian refugees actually on their National Flag Day. And one of those pieces is in my exhibition. Yeah, it's been really nice to work with different groups, for me, adults and children, seeing how people respond to the medium. And, you know, going forward, I plan on doing a lot more workshops.
And I suppose it helped them to be absorbed into the community, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it, you know, the asylum seekers definitely helps that feeling of inclusion, which is obviously a big thing for St. Albans. The whole history of St. Albans is based on the fact of everyone's included, basically. And the cathedral itself, I mean, there's nobody's turned away at the door. Doesn't matter what religion you are. You can even be a dog and come in here. So it's a super environment.
Do they allow dogs in here?
Yeah. Dogs can come in, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You're a bit of a dog lover, I gather.
Oh, I am a dog lover, yeah. I'm definitely a dog person. Dogs, they listen to all your troubles, don't they? And they're always happy to sit with you, or you always get a waggy tail, no matter what bad day you might have had. I think they're like angels with paws.
Now, you've got this exhibition called Graffiti and Grace. Why did you give it that name?
So at the time of me, you know, thinking about doing the residency and contemplating the year ahead, and being approached by the cathedral, as we said, I was spending a lot of time with my son, who had come over from South Africa, and he now stays with me. And we were just listening to a lot of Stormzy. We're listening to a lot of different music that he likes. And particular song of Stormzy's, Blinded by Your Grace, really touched my heart. And thinking about the whole year ahead with the cathedral, that was a very poignant kind of like moment for me. And so it's kind of like a reflection back on that, which is why he's also a painting in my exhibition. And, you know, I think it's just the mixture of graffiti and the cathedral has been a topic for conversation with a lot of articles that, you know, I've been, you know, chatting with people about. It is an odd mixture to have a graffiti artist and a cathedral, but there's true grace everywhere in the world, if you just look for it. And I feel that as an artist, we have a bit of not a job, but we have a responsibility, I think, to portray a positive, good message. Because our art can be seen by everybody and is out there in the community, it needs to be doing good rather than bad.
Mm. And you've said that the exhibition reflects phases of your life.
Yeah.
Give us an example of that.
Well, the one painting that I have in the exhibition is of Madiba. That obviously reflects that phase of my life of South Africa turning the corner and becoming the Rainbow Nation and the country it is today. And, you know, I painted Wednesday as well, who's like one of Tim Burton's sort of characters. And that kind of reflects back to my animation sort of phase. And I just feel that like throughout my life, I've had this military phase, I've had this animation phase, I've had this graffiti phase that I'm in now. And it's just, it's interesting how my books kind of turned out to be these like different chapters, which I've thoroughly enjoyed, but they're very, very different from one from the other.
Then you've got one of your wife?
Yes, my wife. She's my rock, keeps me focused, keeps me motivated, which is fantastic. I wanted to paint her because I haven't painted her since I've been painting, and I've always painted all these other different subject matter. And I just felt, you know, I really need to paint her at some point in time. And this was the perfect moment. It was also a complete surprise for her because I told her I was painting a giraffe. Even when I would leave the house and go to my studio, I'd be, I'm still working on the giraffe. I'll be back a little bit later. And she asked to see what the giraffe looked like. And I was like, oh, I forgot to take a picture of it and things like that. And when we actually did the private view, we had some sheets over the paintings, and I got her to like remove the one on the giraffe, which obviously was her.
So what was her reaction?
Oh, she burst into tears. It was very moving, which was, it was lovely, but all good. Yeah.
You've got another one of a woman in what is called Aztec Warrior.
Yeah.
Why did you paint that?
So, another one of my jobs is, that I've been doing recently, and for a while is, security, private security. And, I've done a lot of trips to Mexico, Paraguay, South America and North America. But every time I go to Mexico, I really feel a strong kind of connection with the country. And it's kind of like a weird thing to explain, but that kind of tie for me to that culture. And inside me, I feel as if I have a bit of a warrior instinct that sort of comes out quite strong when I do things, when I was doing things in the military and when I still do things in security. I have the sense of protecting those around me, very much, you know, a protector kind of spirit. So that is why she's painted, to reflect that side of my character.
And the security that you're talking about, is that sort of corporate stuff or is it personal?
Private corporate security for, you know, billionaires, that kind of thing.
But I mean, on computer, you mean?
Oh, no, that's out in the field. Right. That's out in the field.
Right. Would be out in the field. Go in line with everything else.
Yeah. One of the funny experiences that we had was, we went with the person that we were with. We went to Acapulco, and our guy was having a meeting in the house. And one of the Mexican security guys said to me, "Oh, do you know whose house this is?" But obviously, like over Google Translate, because I don't speak Spanish very well. And I said, "No, I don't know whose house this is." And he turned around and said, "This is El Chapo's house."
Oh, really?
So we were actually sitting in El Chapo's house, and all of the security guards there are his sicarios that he used to have, because when he got arrested, the government took over the house, but they took over all the staff as well.
Okay.
So that was a bit of a surreal experience, sort of sitting there eating lunch with the sicarios.
I bet, yeah. And of course, the centerpiece, I suppose, of your exhibition is this winged cherub, isn't it?
Yeah. The winged cherub is the first workshop that I did for the cathedral. It was a drop-in workshop I held on a Saturday morning. And there were over 100 children who came down to the cathedral to collaborate on that artwork. And I painted the cherub in the middle with spray cans. And then the children did little drawings all around the outside of it. And, you know, they could draw whatever they wanted to draw, but I kind of encouraged them to sort of do things that were relating to the cathedral in some way, or to themselves personally. So,
and did they get invited to the opening?
Well, not all the children, no. I think it was past their bedtime. But I've had quite a lot of comments come through, and a lot of people messaged me to say, oh, we saw the cherub and we saw this, and they took their kids to come and see the exhibition. Yeah.
What are your hopes and aspirations for the future then?
I really want to get up onto the side of a big building. That's the one thing I still have yet to do. I've done sort of small buildings, but I'd love to do like a really, really big building. Aspirations also, I mean, I just feel that like getting a message more into the public is kind of like, I feel like I've been very much contained in St. Albans this year, which has been great, but I want to kind of like spread myself next year into the rest of the world. I did a mural in China 2 months ago, or a month and a half ago. That was really, really exciting. And I enjoyed that.
What did you do?
So I did I did three characters that I'm actually animating, but I painted them in the mural, as a live paint at a trade show. And I think it was quite a good experience for me, because before, when I've done that, people will walk past and they'll kind of like watch me and they'll interact. But in China, they just were all recording me very closely and like without saying a word. And it occurred to me that a lot of the art and culture there is very, very neat and very, very clean. And to see somebody like me, like sort of like throwing paint around and being a bit more loose with it was, I think, quite an eye opener for them.
Right. Well, so Ant Steel is local, it's going national and international now.
Yeah. And in January, I'm going to be in California. So I'll be painting a mural there.
Well, there'll be plenty of other muralists.
That'll be good. Yeah. Lots of muralists there. Yeah.
And thanks so much for talking. It's been great.
Thank you very much, Bob. It's been great to meet chat to you on the podcast.
Ant Steel there, empowering neighbourhoods with his positive messages. Good luck to him. Thanks for listening. Join me, Bob Chaundy, to consider more art next week. We'll be right back.